It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
Good to see you once again. Hey, you came in with a sheet to hot off the press of current trends in culture that are affecting your business, your counseling business, a lot of things, seeing these days.
Yeah, it's a mad world.
It is.
What's that movie? Mad World.
Yes, I remember that one.
It's nutty. Some of these things we've addressed in some of our other radio shows here, but I thought I didn't come up with any specific thing, and I thought, well, why not come up with sort of like a smorgasbord?
A smorgasbord, yeah. Yes. Golden corral of ideas.
Yeah, yeah. So I have the first one here that I thought I'd talk about is loving yourself, and we've talked about that a bit before. But you know, I just want to love myself. This is a statement I've actually heard. This was a young man who was having some gender transitioning surgery, and the reason was. Reportedly, he said, "I just want to love myself." And so I thought, you know, talking about that, because I think that statement, "I just want to love myself," is probably who doesn't want to love themselves, you know?
And Jesus said, "Love others as you love yourself."
Yeah, love others as you love yourself. Mm-hmm. And there's a bit of a philosophical problem here. First one is yourself. And the second one is love, or love and then yourself, and you know, pick your order, whichever one you want. But yeah, that's good. And Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And what he was talking about was that in the Greek, that would be the agape of serve your neighbor as you serve yourself. And when people say, "I want to love myself," I think they're talking about an affection that they want. That's they want to have a feeling about themselves. Right?
Okay.
I have a feeling about themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, part of the difficulty is what is yourself? Because yourself is there is a self. God knows your soul, yourself, but our experience of ourself is a little bit is less objective. In fact, it's pretty subjective. Your experience of yourself is your experience of other people experiencing you. Mm. As I put more thought into this and what this young man was actually wanting in his life, and I think what people actually desire is to see goodness in themselves. They want to see goodness, which I don't think it's a stretch to say that man cries out for goodness. Mankind cries out for goodness, but they don't want to. They want to see it in themselves. They want to see goodness in the self. But it's not there. Goodness, all goodness comes from God. God is the source of everything that is good. Even the Hebrew word for love, talking about the love of God, is kind of like an all-encompassing love. You know, in the Greek, there are the four kinds of love, or four or five words for love. But God's love is the perfect part of any kind of love. If it's not sinful in some way, then it's relating to God's love. So when you say the love of God, we can sort of break it down into different categories. But certainly the love of God encompasses any kind of love that's pure. Love of food, love of nature, love of one another, love of sporting events, love, any kind of any love that is not evil has its source in God. So people want to find goodness, and they want to find goodness in self. And you know, I say goodness comes from God. And
people don't want to accept that people are not basically good people. All people are basically bad. They're fallen. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be told that they are sinners.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people, when you first talk about their need for Christ and the Savior, says, "Well, I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person." Mm-hmm. And
It's something about, you know, wanting goodness, but not wanting to spell it G-O-D.
Right.
It's want to spell it M-E,
right.
but
right.
not G-O-D. But right. the fact is that all goodness comes from God. If there's a if there's anything good and pure, its source is God. And you're right, Mark. We don't want it to be that way. Our nature wants to find it's you know this is the original sin in a sense of you know Lucifer wanting to be God himself. He wanted to be goodness. He wanted to be the source of all these things, and it just can't be. So it really comes down to that idea of loving yourself really comes down to needing God in your life. Now, for people who are non-believers that hear something like that, it sounds like a bunch of just kind of religious hocus-pocus, and it would be if it weren't true. Mm. But the fact that it is true makes it a wonderful message.
You know. Well, yeah, I think even atheists can tell the problem with people is people are selfish. I mean, most people are selfish. Even the most altruistic person still has got a lot of selfishness.
Yeah.
And we need help with that. Well, another one of the current trends that you're dealing with a lot these days is people who self-diagnose. Now, what do you mean by this?
I found this, believe it or not, in Psychology Today.
Oh, yeah?
And I was surprised to see it,
Are they supportive
frankly.
Of that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was really surprised to see it. I thought, wow, that I actually agree with something that I've seen in here. Mm. So it was interesting the way they put this out there. And I do run into a lot of this. In fact, it's most difficult to work with people who have just enough psychology. Mm. To
access to the internet.
Yeah. And so this is what they've seen. They've tracked this somehow, and the article didn't say how, but this is what they've seen. On some of these social media platforms like TikTok, for example, someone will go on TikTok and say, I'm bipolar or I'm multi-personality or something. Mm-hmm. And then there will be this flood of people going into seeking psychiatric care, and they're self-diagnosed with something that has been on recently on TikTok.
Hmm.
And what the article brings out is, and I've always felt this, and again, surprised at Psychology Today was saying the same thing, that the symptoms that these people come up with, it's true that they are symptoms. They use the internet to self-diagnose, and it's true that the symptoms there are there, but not at a level that would warrant a diagnosis. The symptoms are at a level that is just normal human behavior, normal human emotion, and so they're getting talking themselves into this diagnosis and then going into a psychiatrist or something, and a lot of the psychiatrists and the counselors are just going to go along with it. And they're going to use that flimsy little insubstantial degree of symptomology to just go along with it and and have a billing code so that and then the person grabs a hold of this and then they go on to the TikTok or Facebook.
Well, don't you think that's kind of what's happening with this explosion in transgenderism? I mean. That seems like it's kind of like a fad almost. Mm-hmm. They kind of talk themselves into this.
Yeah.
Particularly young girls.
Yeah. It's, it's almost like a form of self-acceptance or legitimizing something about myself, which goes back to the loving myself. It's, I think people intuitively know, sense, I guess is the correct way to say it, intuitively sense, that something's not right in my heart, in my life. I want to see goodness in my life, and yet I can't get there. So I can lower the bar. I can legitimize things. I can at least belong to a larger group. You know, misery loves company. Mm. And so if there's the whole thing of the transgender seems to be people that are largely misfit in some way. Mm. That is, that they don't accept themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't feel that they fit in, and they're willing to go along with the crowd. Mm. If it will give them some sense of belonging to a group.
Well, I think
some
it used to be identity. That used to be kind of what drove a lot of the homosexual behavior, but now this transgender thing is like a whole nother level, where you're actually completely rejecting even the body you're in, and you want to change it. Surgically and hormones and schools are on board with this. And it's really, I think, really sinister.
It is sinister. But don't you agree that it's almost a foregone conclusion. It was almost unavoidable when you reject God and you reject all of God's principles and all of God's truth. All of this stuff slides down the same sewer pipe. Eventually, any evil that you can imagine is going to be expressed in some way. And it isn't surprising that they target the children and the young people.
Yeah. Kids don't know.
They don't know that
they're a boy or a girl. And they're kind of being groomed into this kind of thinking.
Yeah. And we've talked about that. The way they target them, and they sort of parallel some other ideas, like how many flavors of ice cream are there, how many colors in the rainbow, these kinds of things. And so, doesn't it make sense that people are different too? And so they take a hold of these young minds. And then, of course, after that is the rebellious mind of the youth. Mm-hmm. All these movements are youth movements.
Sure.
Because
kids want to rebel, and that's kind of the new cool way to rebel against the way God made me as a boy or a girl.
Yeah, and we were talking before sometime back about the idea that it was a research that was done, but who needed the research? But the younger people are, talking back into teen years, the younger people are, the more apt and prone they are to hold conflicting points of view at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if it's actually true. It just matters if it's popular.
There you go. Yeah. I think that's what's going on. So actually, people self-diagnose themselves as bipolar too, you say?
Bipolar, depression, those are the two hot ones. Bipolar is I'm happy today, I wasn't yesterday, that's bi too. So bipolar and depression, and it's almost like these are like badges of honor. Or Purple Hearts or something, I think it's a way of legitimizing a behavior and lowering the bar for myself. It's something like self-forgiveness.
Or is it an excuse for bad behavior? Just say, I'm kind of volatile. Well, it's because I'm bipolar, just deal with it.
It's rebellion. It's certainly rebellion. I'm not going to walk in a straight line with these people. I'm not going to go along with, it's something I want to be unique, but when you look at it, there's nothing unique about going along with the crowd. The unique person today would be the person who's standing for traditional values.
That is the case. Yeah, interesting discussion. Current trends in culture that are affecting Daniel's business of counseling, life coaching. People are intrigued about your services, Daniel. They want to find out more. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also can email me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where there are several years of podcast shows there, too.
Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, Daniel is discussing current trends in culture that are affecting his business. Seeing lots of people talking about, for instance, loving yourself, a lot of people self-diagnosing. It's interesting you said that. Even Psychology Today said that self-diagnosis is a problem.
Is a problem.
Yeah. It seems like they're into everything. Well, we're moving on to another one I didn't know was a current trend. Thought it's been around a while. You say tattoos.
Yeah, well, it's the amount of tattoos, and I've got some.
So you think this is a mental health issue?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that because why would you put something, you used to get you get in the Navy, you get a tattoo because, or you get in the armed service, you get a tattoo because, it's, why? Because it's macho, it's belonging to the group, it's making a statement. And so that's what tattoos are a lot about. There are, I do have clients who have tattoos. One person explained to me one time that whenever she goes through something that's deeply traumatic, And she did have a extremely – she wasn't pampering herself, but she would have a tattoo, get a tattoo about this. So it was like a way of externalizing the pain, a way of kind of like – almost like journaling, I think, in a way.
Journaling on their body.
Yeah, journaling on their body.
About their pain.
Yeah, and then you see these extreme situations where people are obviously in pain. I saw one the other day with a guy who had the surgical horns on his head and the piercings all through his face. I don't think there was a square inch on his face that didn't have some sort of a metal object attached to the face. And just tattoos, the whole body tattooed, just painted, and
and body piercings too.
And body piercings, and it was one of those things. I just look at it and say, the message is clear. It's pain. The message is about pain, and using your body as almost like an area for art, boy, words fail me here. Canvas, like
there
using
you
your body
yeah,
as a
I've
canvas.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about that. Yeah.
And just putting it on like
there's
that.
There's even TV shows dedicated to this as an art form.
Yeah.
It's a way to identify with a certain group.
Yeah. But not all of the – so there's a lot of tattooing that's painful in that way. I'd imagine maybe all tattoos have some level of pain, that is – needing to do this to accept myself or to be accepted by other people, belonging to a group, belonging to a genre, identifying as a group. I wonder sometimes if it isn't a bit narcissistic to put a statement on your body and without the thought that, at some point I might want to change that statement. How do I move on? How do I grow beyond this? Because once you tattoo something on your body.
Yeah, I thought that's kind of permanent, isn't it?
They can be removed, but
it's even more painful to remove.
It's more painful, and I'm not sure you can erase it in the way that it appears as though it's never been there. So it's always – people tend to – rather than erase them, a lot of people tend to just try to change them. So they get messier and messier. But how do you move on? The thing I'm afraid of is that a lot of these people can't move on. Once you've got that tattoo, you're less likely to change your values and your viewpoint because now you've got this – obvious contradiction. You couldn't paint one message on your body and then have an experience where you disagree with that anymore. So people are likely just to hang on to things that they need to outgrow. But you get a lot of these tattoos when you're young, and when you grow up, you should be learning, changing with wisdom.
Well, particularly when they're on their face.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't hide that. You can cover up other areas of the body.
Yeah. The collars and the sleeves, all the way down your arms and all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a trend. It has to do with something we've talked about so often, fear and shame. Mm. And so,
Okay. Well, that kind of moves us into another current trend. Suicide ideation. What do you mean by this?
Yeah. So suicidal ideation, of course, this is something that I get a lot of calls now. More than before, it's increasing, obviously, with young people with suicidal ideation. Now, I don't know if you ever thought that way when you were young, Mark, but I think most people, I certainly did, most people, when they're in those years of puberty, if only for curiosity, the thought of suicide crosses your mind. And so I had this one person say, I just think people would be better off without me. I think most people have had that thought. But today, in our present culture, people are taking those kinds of thoughts a lot more serious because there's a rise in the number of suicides, and you don't want it to be your son or your daughter. So people are kind of panicking, and a lot of times panicking too soon. So, and I think the...
You mean parents panicking about their kid?
Right. Yeah. Okay. And sometimes I think it... well, it's hard to know, but sometimes I think it's, in some level, for a lot of this, it's attention getting behavior. And then we do just that. We kind of tend to fall right into the trap of it and put attention that well, maybe one thing that parents could do rather than the first thing to do, for a lot of parents would be to get that kid into counseling. But maybe one of the first things to do would be for the parent to go in and talk to a counselor and say, "This is what I'm seeing. And kind of get like a fuller picture." Again, a lot of counselors will be too willing to pull the trigger quick and treat it serious. And I guess they feel like they have to because nobody, you know, the children's hospital doesn't want to get sued for negligence or something like that. So kind of have a...
Well, do you think that they're saying a lot of the COVID shutdown and isolating of kids has really contributed to this too?
I think so because the thing that we need in our lives to feel that there's value and meaning in our lives is cross-pollinization. We need relationships. Mm-hmm. We need input from other people. And so when we don't have that and we're left alone with our own thoughts, sometimes that can be pretty dark. And I think sometimes kids want to say these things shock. But I remember when our daughter was young, and if you've had children, you've experienced this, when the child first explores the meaning of the word no, and or they're going to tell a fib, and it's the first time they've ever told a fib. So you said, did you eat that cookie or did you take that cookie? Mm. And you can see the wheels turning and they go, no, which they did in fact take the cookie, but they're experimenting with this kind of control. Mm. And I think a lot of times it's that fascination with that kind of uncharted territory. And so they'll say, I'm having these suicidal thoughts.
Well, and again, I think it's kind of a fad. Again, there's mm-hmm. been media that kind of glorifies this as an option.
Yeah, so it is kind of like belonging, mm-hmm. Belonging to the group. It's sort of like another Purple Heart. I think so. This kind of warrants some suggestions here, some good suggestions. I think that one of the things that you want to look for is what we're calling suicidal ideations, or sometimes it's just verbalizing the sometimes I think the world would be better off without me.
You're talking more about this epidemic amongst young people.
Yeah,
primarily. Because adults who have been through some life, they obviously commit suicide as well.
Right.
But yeah, kids have got everything to live for.
And
would they be doing this?
And one of the things you want to look for is some kind of severe and chronic trauma that would drive them to this. And this would be... like chronic bullying or rape or something that
social media bullying,
mm-hmm. but it would have to be chronic and severe. So, so if I've got a child that's seems to be pretty healthy in their social outlooks and they're doing fairly well at school and there hasn't been this trauma in their life, but they're just kind of in a funk right now. And as you say, it might be faddish to say something like, you know, I should just kill myself. Maybe it warrants a little bit of before we panic and put the kid into counseling. Maybe that's not a terrible idea, but a lot of counselors will go along with it. But sometimes maybe it's a good idea for the counselor to find the parent to find a trustworthy counselor and say, "This is what I'm up against. What do you think?" And then two minds are better mm-hmm. than one. That's just a suggestion, but yeah, this is it's an increasing thing, an increasing trend. It's part of the verbiage now, and I don't think the problem is as bad as it seems to be. Of course, we need to be careful, but I guess what I would say to parents at this point is, you know, just because your child says that, you know, you pay attention to it, but. Usually no need to panic.
Okay.
Because, you know,
or like, at least be proactive and not reactive to that. Well, as we wrap up here in our last couple of minutes, you wanted to bring some the weapon for a lot of this is truth, God's truth.
Yeah. In fact, John 8:31-32 talks about what Jesus said, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And people want to be free. But there's something in our culture and globally, it's not popular to have the truth today. It's more popular to be agnostic or confused. Mm. You know, it brings us back to the gender confusion. Yeah. So it's popular to be confused. It's popular to be open-minded.
Sure. So open-minded, and, your brain falls out.
Yeah.
That's the way I always describe that.
Or what did somebody just recently say?
Fall in love with your search.
If you can't stand for anything, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Mm-hmm. All truth finds its way back to God, because God is the standard. Mm-hmm. God is just. And God is true. Truth is His. And so the age of confusion is the age of the Antichrist. One really positive note, this is probably why I have this down. I've really been blessed with the number of young, particularly men, because I think young women are probably seeking gals that can counsel them, women that can counsel them. More of them would do that. So this would be young men, but they're just, they're like sponges. They're just starved for truth, and mm-hmm. they want to talk about these things, mm-hmm. and they want answers. They have questions. They want answers, and they just love hearing, they love getting books about truth, and they love talking about truth. And I think to me, that's an encouragement, because in a culture where truth is unpopular and confusion is popular, it's the thing to be today, betwixt and between. So it's encouraging to see young people who, and actually saw a young man, turn his life over to the Lord in this, not in my office, but, I'd like to think that I planted some seeds, but just hungry for truth. So,
Bible-based counselor Daniel Pryor. People are intrigued. They need help maybe with their young people. And how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you can also listen to these podcasts, repeat them.
Okay, Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.